Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. We'll be learning tonight more about the halachas of carrying of what is considered wearing and therefore permitted on Shabbos, what is considered carrying and what's also. We'll be learning specifically Sivchov. We'll start from beginning of page Pei Aleph Ramah in the Ramah of Sivchov Gimel. We'll be then going into Chavdal and Chavhei, which speaks about Kemeyas, which is an interesting topic, and moving on from there. Good. Okay. So the top of page Pe Aleph mentions the following: Oysen Agulin Yerukin, the green Igulim Yerukin. Se Gozer Malchus Shekol Yehudi Yisro Echad Mem Beksusoy. This is the equivalent of the yellow stars. The yellow stars. That there was in Nazi Germany that Yidden had to wear yellow stars on their garments. The equivalent it appears that it was already common in previous generations. So it's talking about it wasn't yellow; they were green. A gulim. We just finished page 160, and we are starting on top of page Pei Aleph. Oysen gulim yirukin. So it's Simon Shin Aleph, Siv Chov Gimel, in the Ramah, in the middle of the Ramah. V'oysen igulim yirukim. So it's basically the top of page Pe Aleph. So Simon Shin Aleph, Siv Chov Gimel, which the Siv starts with Habonim Yoitzim Bezogin. That's how the Simon, that's how the Siv starts, and I'm in the words of the Ramah. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, so it's Oysen Agulin Yerukin, which is the equivalent of the golden stars that used to be on the. It has that green Egulin, which attached onto the garments. Shegoza Malchus, that the government decreed Shekolu Yehudi, that every Yid Yisro Echad Mem Beksusoy, that every Yid. The government decreed that every Yid has to wear one of those prominently on their garments. Mutalot says Bohen, it is permitted to walk out with it. Afilu eino tofu b'ksusoi, even if it's not completely stitched on and it's not woven into the garment. Rak mechubo sham k'tzatz, it's only slightly attached. Why is it muta? Pardon? You have a choice not to go out. It's malbush. It's malbush. Not pikuach nefesh, because you don't have to go out. That's right. Mishnebu Sivkotten, that's right. Mishnebu Sivkotten, Pip Gimel explains, Mota Lot Sivkotten, the Choshe Malbush. It is a Malbush, it's considered a garment, and part of the garment, Shekim and Shetech Lot Sivkotten, Kolim and Shavua, since the way is normally to walk out throughout the week as well. Not only on Shabbos you walk out with it, throughout the week as well. If you walk out with it, the rule of thumb is if you walk out with it the whole of the week, then it's considered a Malbush, you're allowed to walk with it on Shabbos as well. We're not concerned. Dilma is Spanish. We're not worried that maybe he's going to feel uncomfortable. Veshokile is going to take it out. Vosili Sir is going to put it in his hand or in his pocket and carry it. We're not concerned about that. Sheimas Malchus a lot because he's concerned about the decree, about the law. It's against the law to take it off. And therefore, we're not concerned. He's going to keep it. He's going to, jolly well going to keep it on. And therefore, Mutalot is going to afilu tofu. Interesting, historically, I think it's interesting that it seems that the yellow star was not. I mean, it's very interesting. It's a rumor. It's a Ramah, and it looks like the Yidden were not particularly keen on wearing them prominently. They were green, and they didn't like to wear it. It sounds like it. They didn't particularly like it, but nevertheless, they did it. So it's very interesting historically, just that it wasn't something which was invented in Nazi Germany. Unbeknownst to them, I suppose. V'chein mutalot says b'mitpachas shemekanchem bo af. It is muta also to the handkerchief, shemekan chibaraf, your handkerchief, which is used for shemekan chibaraf, shekurim ptzolite, which is a handkerchief. Imachubal ksus, you're allowed to walk out with the handkerchief, which is attached, if it's mchubal ksus, if it's attached to the garment. I don't know exactly how it works, I can only imagine that old fashioned handkerchief before the t-shirts were so common. All the handkerchiefs that our grandparents had, yeah? So they were attached to the garment, and then you're allowed to walk out with it.
How many elders used to like put it around their neck?
That's right. Well, he said this, however, is called mechubal ktsus. The one he's talking about is attached to the garment. That's why it's mutter. Since it's attached to the garment, therefore it's mutter. For the mutter, now he goes back to a point which I think I'm, was mentioned yesterday. That we mentioned that the bells, the boys' bells, which are attached to the garments, which was mentioned yesterday, that boys are allowed to go out with those bells, which is attached to it. It's talking about belts without, I think somebody asked it yesterday, without the belts that make no noise. It's just a bell without the internal part of it, which I don't know what it's called. It's just the tzur of the bell, the shape of the bell, but the inside, no. I'm not sure if everybody agrees to that, but that's certainly how the Ramah paskins. I'm not sure the Mechaba is Machmi as well, but certainly the Ramah holds that that it needs to be that if the boys go out with a it's multitaka, but it can't be mashmin kol, it can't be making a noise. Right, that's with regards to the Sifchov Gimel. Sifchov Dala tells us the following: Yoitzim b'mini asovin, you're allowed to walk out with the asovin herbs. This is herbs which is shekoisin oisim bikshorim, attached, are tied on, v'solim oisim refua, and they're hanging down for medical purpose. It's a bit similar to that. It's considered that the Mishnah Berurah points out in Tzivkot Peivov that it's considered a tachshid. Somebody has got a herbs which are attached maybe for the inhalation of the nice herbs or homeopathic kind of medical thing. And that's mutter. It's mutter. Why? Because it's considered a tachshid. It's something which you're doing. Again, the rule is always that if it's something which enhances yourself, it's something for your own personal, physical benefit, that would be mutter. It's only when it's something which is protecting your garments, protecting your clothing, protecting that's when it's going to be also. But something which is positively enhancing you, that's mutter. Now, see if positively enhancing you physically, that's mutter. That's over here. It's like a medical kind of thing. The herbs, the smell is positive, has a positive effect on you. That's where it's mutter. See if chav hei is a long seif, and I would like to just introduce you with the following concept: ekmeya. Ekmeya is an amulet which helps against. We're going to see later. It helps. Ekmeya helps against. Somebody chalila is ill. Somebody who is scared to become ill, and kmei is medida de gemara. If kmei has the amulet has something written on it in a certain way, at times it can be very very helpful and very powerful. Truth is that the gemara speaks about kmei's. Mishnah speaks about kmei's. So it's not a chassidish thing. I mean, the chassidim was maybe more common and well established to use kmei's. But Asur b'kiveiga gives clear instructions how to make kmei for yeledes. I think nowadays it's not so common anymore. I don't know in the chassidish world kmei's. Still a bit, I'm not sure. But
that's what Rav Hussman used to do.
Yeah, you need to have Masori, you need to know what you're doing. But I know Rebbe Kveika has got letters and he gives instructions about how to make a Kmeya for Eledes. So I know that, so that's in terms of Kmeya. Now, Kmeya is, we're going to see that Kmeya at times is something which you're allowed to walk out on Shabbos. A Kmeya, it's going to be on you. And if you go out with this Kmeya, that may say any text, or we're going to see it doesn't have to be necessarily a text, it can even be, it can be other things as well, but a Kmeya, which is meant to help you and protect you and save you, you're allowed to walk out with on Shabbos. The rule, however, is, we're going to see Shulchan Aruch tells us, that only if it's a Kmeya which is established, and we've got knowledge that this is not stam a pretend Kmeya, and not just a wishful thinking, it has to be a genuine Kmeya that knows that it's effective and that works. Only that kind of Kmeya you can walk out with. So you need to have evidence. It's very much evidence based that if it is a Kmeya that helps and that works, you're allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. But if it's a Kmeya that you don't have any evidence that it works, you're not allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. Yeah. Right, that's right. So what would be the halacha for such a kmeya? Like to walk out with it, yes or no? What would be the halacha? So we're going to see that this Shulchan Aruch now is going to tell us there's actually three components to know. So again, if it has to be evidence-based kmeya that you're allowed to walk out with. What does it mean? Yeah?
When you say walk out with it, how are you wearing it? Are you holding it?
No, it's not in your hand.
How are you doing?
It's most likely a necklace. It doesn't have to be a necklace, but in most scenarios, it's a necklace. No, only if it's a tachshit, if it's a purpose. A nice one, yes. Because it's not necessarily... A necklace has to be a tachshit. A tachshit either because of its own beauty. But if it's not particularly beautiful, like a kmeh, it doesn't have particular beauty. So why is it mutter to walk out with it? It's not necessarily a tachshit. You're right. If the kmeh is established as a helpful and effective kmeh, it's going to go within the category of tachshit and you're allowed to walk out with it. But if it's a kmeh that doesn't have any evidence that it's working and it doesn't look particularly beautiful, why are you allowed to walk out with it? So we're going to see that there's three components. It can either be, how do you know that a kmeh works? It could either be because the person who wrote it, the author of this kmeh, the one who wrote this kmeh, has evidence that when he writes something, that's a kmeh that works. He's such a tzaddik, he writes a kmeh, that's going to work. That's one element, one component that needs to be looked at. There's another component, which is that, what did he write? Did he write the nusach that he wrote, the wording that he wrote? Is it something which normally helps? Or is it something which is maybe not necessarily that something helps? Depends on the wording. And finally, there's something else. That it doesn't, never mind the writer, never mind the wording, the nusach, but look at the actual cloth. This very parchment now that we've got in front of us, is it something that has worked or not? This parchment has been used, tested, and checked that it works. On a chayla, yes or no? So there's various components that we need to look at, and this Shulchan Aruch is going to define now which ones are the ones that are actually going to help and which ones not. So let us see. And again, if it is not something which is evidence that it helps, and then you're not allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. And hence, says Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Chof Hei, "Hen yoytzin bekmeh she'enei mumche." You're not allowed to walk out with an amulet with the kmeh she'enei mumche of an enei mumche. Now, enei mumche literally means enei mumche, non-expert. But what does he mean, enei mumche? No, who is not the expert? What is not the expert over here? Enei mumche. Ve'im mumche yoytzin bo. But if it is an expert kmeh, in other words, that we know that works, then yoytzin bo you're allowed to walk out with. Now, lo yishno isam chigavre. So one scenario is loshno isamchi gavur veloy kmeya. That would be the case of isamchi gavur. This person is a person that has written kmeyas that work. He has written kmeyas that work. That's isamchi gavur. Gavur, the person is a person that writes kmeyas that work. Kegoin, such as shekosav lachash echot b'sholosh igros. He's written one lachash. Lachash is the nusach, the words. He's written lachash echot b'sholosh igros. He's written three times that particular wording, that lachash. V'ripu shloish obnei adam. He has written this tzaddik has written three times a certain wording, and this for three different ill people. They probably had the same illness, but it's written three times. And you know what? It worked. It helped. When they were walking out with this lachash, which was written by this particular person, they were healed. Three different people. Sheisam chegavra le'oysa lachash. This person now has been established, le'oysa lachash, for this word. Bechol pam sheikh tevenu. Whenever he writes it, three times already he's written it. Three times he's written these words. And three times, to three different people, it helped. So the writer now is considered a mumcha for that particular lachash. And that's Samcha Gavra. But if this tzaddik now writes in other words, other lachash, for different things, if another person writes these words, that also doesn't help. It needs to be that particular person writing those particular words three times, then we know this kmeh I can walk out with. Yeah. I don't know which ones you're allowed to look at, why, when, how, I don't know. I don't know, that's up to Kabbalah, I don't know, Shulchan Aruch doesn't teach us these rules. I don't know how that works. I don't know about this rule. I know that's what people say, but Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it, you're allowed to open it, and Mishnahs don't say it, and Gemara, I'm not sure. I don't know, maybe you have to believe him. I don't know how it works. Okay, so if somebody else wrote those words, that also doesn't necessarily help. Somebody else writes the same lachash, you don't have evidence that this works. Or alternative, that's option number one. Option number two, loishno isamchi kmeh v'loy gavra. The other option is, Isam chikmeh. That means you can't shikosav lachash echot beigeres achas v'ripo sholish pa'omim. One lachash was written on igeres achas, on one particular parchment. Those words were written on one particular parchment And that parchment was used three times to three different people. Then you know what? Now this physical Kmeah, we know that works. Why? It's been used, it's been tested three times already. Three people walked out with this physical parchment, with this igeres. And it worked for three times. So you can assume that this is now an isamche kmeir. And it works. So igeres mumcha lekol adam. This igeres now is considered an igeres mumcha. This letter now, this kmeir, is considered acceptable now. You can walk out with this. For kol shkeinu isamche gavu v'kmeir, even more so, if you've got isamche gavu and kmeir, which is kuyun shikosav lachash echot b'sholesh igeres, one person wrote lachash echot b'sholesh igeres, three different parchments. And every one of the three parchments was used for three different people. So it were three parchments, and each of them was used for three times for three different people. Or it could even be to one person shalash pomu three times. Then it's considered sam chigavu lachash zu. So if you've got one, that's the best is if one person wrote three igeres, three kmeres, and they were used for three different people three times, then you know you're pretty safe, and this is considered, you have to walk out with this. Now this, I'll tell you the truth, this Rama, I don't understand exactly what he means. I do not understand it. We're going to go through it anyway, but I don't fully understand what the Rama is talking about. This is only if the Am Chois came simultaneously, that he wrote it and it was given simultaneously. But if the person is considered an authentic writer, afterwards wrote the Khmer, and he healed three times, we don't assume the Khmer is acceptable, but we're assuming that it was the person and not the Khmer. So I'm not clear in this, but we carry on. But if you've got a person who wrote three amulets to one person, and he was healed three times, if you've got three Khmer's, which was written to one person, and he was ill three times, he's healed him three times, then we don't consider it, this, you can't walk out with it. Why not? Again, one amulet was written for a person who was ill three times, and three times he was healed. It's not good. Why? It's not three different people, but it was three times ill. Pardon? It didn't stop because he became ill again. Oh, I see. No, so Mishmur says something else. Mishmur says that it could just be that it was a fluke because it's one person. It's a bit like you are saying, because it's one person, so it could be that it is his muzzle. It doesn't mean that there's something well established about the Khmer. So yeah, so that's in terms of establishing what is considered the Khmer Mumcha. Now, Umuta Lot says be Khmer Mumcha. You're allowed to walk out with the Khmer Mumcha. Now, if once you've got evidence and it's established that this Khmer is a Khmer that works, either because of the various scenarios that we just mentioned, you know this Khmer works, then Muta Lot says be Khmer Mumcha, bottom line, you're allowed to walk out with the Khmer Mumcha on Shabbos. Lo Ishno Hu Shel Ksav. It makes no difference as to whether it was a written Khmer, that the text is a written text, that's fine. Oi shall ikim, or it can be made out of ikim, which Mishmur explains ikim in Sifkot Nchobeis, shall shol shel simonim, herbs. If it's made out of so Khmer, it doesn't have to be a written text. He can be made out of shol shel ikim as well, herbs. Yeah, but here it's as a Khmer. Could be they don't smell necessarily nice. They don't have any medical purpose. It's a Khmer. No, there's a big difference. There's a big difference because this is a medic. The initial one was a medical purpose. Let's say it's a, you know, you've got a medical purpose. There's a medical, you know, it's good for the sinus. I don't know, something on those lines. And this is something different. You may not smell, you may not look, you may not, it's a Khmer. It's inserted in the Khmer. You don't see it and you don't smell it and you don't. But nevertheless, if these herbs have a particular skula of being a Khmer and helping, it's source of its being a Khmer. How a Khmer works? Smelling. And that herbs work as a Khmer?
Where's the source?
I don't know.
Is it
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works. Yeah, I'm not sure which ones. Shall Shosha Simonim. So go to Khamabuz, yeah. Yeah, so that, yeah. It's, I mean, the way it works, it's doesn't have a medical, a direct medical explanation, but it's an indirect skula of helping. So whether it's a written text, Khmer, or it is a herbal, Khmer, you're allowed to walk out with it. Whether it's a dangerously ill person, or even that's a big chiddush. Even if it's not dangerously ill, he just slightly unwell. This Khmer is going to help him for his headache. This Khmer is going to help him against his stiff neck. He's allowed to walk out with it.
And
not only if he's ill already and he's using this Khmer to help him and heal him, not only that, but even if he's not even ill yet, but he's concerned about getting ill or becoming or having a particular sickness or illness, he's concerned about it. He comes from a certain family that they have certain issues. They've got maybe a moshul be there is a they've got he knows that they develop a certain illness when in the middle age or in the seniority, they develop in that particular family they develop a certain illness, so he's worried about it, so he walks around with his Khmer.
What about SOS bracelets?
Well, let's just finish Shulchan Aruch. We'll get to that. And he's holding the Khmer because he wants to be protected from potentially getting ill for something. Sure, it's mutter. V'koishoy, he attaches it, umatiroy b'rishus harabim. He'll have to put it on and off. V'ubilvat shalek sherenu b'shiroy tabas v'yitzel b'rishus harabim. Sh'ozoy m'shiroy tzelo shen tachshit, v'zeo sotelav tachshitu. The only thing is, he may not appear like a tachshit. So that's going back to Reb Gideon's point. If something appears as the external appearance of being a tachshit, that's not ideal. It needs to be evident that it's an amulet. It has to be evident that it's a khmer. Only then it's mutter. Because if it appears to be a tachshit, well, it's not necessarily mutter because it isn't a tachshit. So it has to be clear that you're not carrying it as a tachshit. You're carrying it because it's a khmer. And only then it's mutter. But yes, you're allowed to walk it in the Rishus Rabbim as well. Pardon? Why is he not?
Common.
I think that I don't know fully the answer to your question, but I think that we've got very, very little mystery in these things, and I think that it's very hard to have a Khmer which is established as a Khmer Mumcha. How are you going to find the Khmer that works three times? You know, for sure it's because of the skula and the power of the Khmer. How are you going to find evidence? Is he Isamcha Gavra? Isamcha Khmer? How are you going to know? How don't you know that it's just a fluke or just his muzzle, as Mishnah Berurah says, his muzzle caused it to work? I don't know. So that's that. But again, I was very impressed to see that Kveger writes instructions how to write a Khmer. Does anybody have any experience about particular Khmers? Yeah? Khmer, no Khmer? Don't walk out with the Khmer? Yeah.
I've seen in Cambridge they have the Cairo Knizas.
Yeah.
Taka.
They were Khmer's. Wow. Wow. Right. Okay, so this is right, okay, yeah. I don't think there's much Masur in it. Certainly not in the Litvish Welt, in the Ashkenazish Welt, there's not much Masur about the Khmer's. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does any of the recent Gadolim
I'm not aware. Okay. Right. Siv Chavov tells us, Neman Loimar Roifel Atzmoy, a doctor is allowed to say on himself, Shumum Chadar is an expert. Now, we know that, how are we going to, we need to have Mumcha, established Mumcha that you'd have to walk out with. If it's not in a Mumcha, you don't. So what if a person says, it doesn't have to be a Roifa, he could be anybody in fact, who says, okay, I've written three Khmer's, and they're amazing, they're brilliant. My Khmer's, they just work. Do you have to check, do you have to make a credit rating test, what is it called? Do you have to, or can you just believe him? Is he believed to say that my Khmer's are Khmer Mumcha and they work? Do you have to, can you believe him? Yes or no? Shulchan Aruch tells us over here that yes, he is believed. If a person comes along and he says, my Khmer's work, check it out. And you're not sure, you don't have any evidence, but can you believe in this? The answer is yes. It doesn't have to be a roifer. A person is believed to say on himself, that he's a mumchen, that he's kmeh's work. Right, and Siv Chav Zayin seems very peculiar to us in our world. It's very uncommon for us nowadays, but he's going to give some examples of refuahs that work. This is the equivalent of the paracetamol and the Nurofen of the earlier generations. You're allowed to walk out with eggs of a chagol of a locust for its medical power. With a tooth of a fox. You're allowed to walk out with these mas me'atzolov, shen shel shual, beitz ha'chagol, all these you're allowed to walk out with, ben b'chol, whether it's on weekday or Shabbos. There's a massive chiddush here. What's the chiddush about chol on weekdays? You're allowed to walk out with a... What's the chiddush of weekdays? Pardon? Oh, very good. Ve'ein bo mishum da'ke ha'moiri. We know this is halacha. You're not allowed to do da'ke ha'moiri, which basically means to be superstitious and do things which are... No. Cholile v'chas. There are things that actively work. Yeah, I cannot. But look at Shulchan Aruch. V'chein, similarly, b'chol davar shu mishum refuah. Anything that has a medical, which is medical, is you allowed to walk out with. But if it's not, obvious that it's for medical purpose, then it's also mishum da kemer. Then it's also these things, they work. You never tried to walk out with a locust egg. They work. They work. So, but if it doesn't work, then it's dark, then you're allowed to walk out, not on Shabbos because you're carrying, and not on weekdays because it's dark hemoyi. I will call lachash or mutter, but the lachash, if it's words and it's mutter, also a little bit, it's only also if you know that this is toit for kaporis. If something doesn't work, then you're allowed to. But it, normally words, if it's a kmeh, then it's going to work. Others are suspicious, and they say that, you know what, even a kmeh, don't go for kmehs. Don't go for kmeis unless you're 100% sure that it's good, because otherwise you've got over even on weekdays because you're dark hemoyim. Now again, I'm pointing out if kuvdalat mishnebura uveitz zachagol who chagov it's a locust. I'm be gemara b'mal the avdil kovarim who vizmonom hoyu eludvorim isamchu lerefuah. These are the key words of mishnebura. In those days, those matters were established and clearly worked for medical purpose. They worked. They worked. And they're at least as good as the Kmeh Mumcha, but even more than that. For sure, lots is pain. And you're allowed to walk out with those things, including it off when they're hanging as a necklace, as obviously you're not allowed to hold them in your hand, put them in your pocket. No. If they're worn as a necklace, you're allowed to walk out with it. Now, the obvious question which you're going to ask now, I don't know how to answer. I don't know the answer. Why is it that a fox's tooth doesn't work anymore and locust eggs don't work anymore? I don't know why, but it's a medical thing that worked. Why it doesn't work today? Maybe the mahalach is because physically. Because, no. It's a Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. He said that they're refuah. Yeah. So I don't know if we have to say that physically we've changed over the generations, which I'm sure there's some element of truth in it, or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the medical, and Chassam Sofer writes in one tshuva that things change over the generations. I don't think so, because then if it's a placebo effect, then I wouldn't call it the Samchol Refuah. I don't think it would be called, I don't think Mishnah Berurah would call it that it's... I hear your approach, I hear your mahalach, Mr. Weiner, but I don't think that Mishnah Berurah is soivel that mahalach, because Mishnah Berurah says shiler refuah, it has to be samchol refuah. These are all things that worked for medical purpose. Right, so this is that, but I hear mahalach. I know that placebos, they actually cause that psychologically a person really does get better. Yeah. But at the same time, it's hard to understand. It's mamash consider refuah. So why those medical treatments nowadays, they wouldn't work? I'm not sure. But the truth is, we have never really tried. Have you ever tried to work out with a fox's tooth? Maybe next time you're not feeling well. Maybe try that. And now, again, nowadays, you're going to be considered dark hemorrhage. Yeah, maybe nowadays it's going to be dark hemorrhage. So maybe let's not try. We truly don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But nowadays you're right. Nowadays you're probably gone because of that chemo. Yes, Ellie.
A rod.
There was a sort of jewelry. And kind of there's a book of all these sort of things. And I think
yeah, the Sefer Refuah. Yeah, it was going as it. Yeah. Very good. It's a good comparison. That's right. Because like this, Yidden don't daven. Yeah, that's right. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that we daven for when people didn't daven anymore. The Ramban speaks about it. That people didn't daven anymore. Yeah, it's very, very nice comparison. Yeah, I hear that.
These things don't work. If you would do it, they don't work anymore.
They probably won't work anymore, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Maybe the same here as well. Point taken. Yeah, point taken. Rabbi said, we learned tonight about the stars that were attached on the garments, which is mutter. You're allowed to walk out with it. It's a firmly attached from the garments. You're allowed to walk out with it. We spoke about the medical herbs, which are on the necklace. You're allowed to walk out with it. We spoke about kemer mumcha, which you're allowed to walk out with. We established that there's two ways of being kemer mumcha. Either through samcha gavra, which means that the nusach has been well established by this particular tzaddik that work, or samcha kemer, which is that the physical klaf has been established as working. And if it's not a Khmer Mumchet, and it's a Khmer Enum Mumchet, then you're not allowed to walk out with it. It's not going to be a Takshet, you're not allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. If it's a Khmer Mumchet, and it doesn't make a difference as to whether it's made out of Ksav or herbs, a Khmer works. Not only for somebody who's ill already, but even somebody who's concerned and worried about getting ill, he's also allowed to walk out with the Khmer. And we learned also that a person is allowed to say on himself that I know all about it, I'm an expert, trust me, my Khmers, they just really do the trick. Person is believed, and then we spoke about various interesting examples of medical treatments which a person is allowed to walk out with as well. More on this, Bezer Hashem, tomorrow.